Before we begin, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we are thankful to be here and we are thankful to have thy word before us. Father, our prayer is that we would rest upon thee and that we would find our joy in thee. And Father, we look to thee in all things and we pray that thy good and thy faithful Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts and in our lives as we consider this thy word in this evening hour. Lord, bless us each and every one. We thank thee for this opportunity and pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and read chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. For not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. May God bless the reading of his word. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and joy is not an emotion, but joy is a state of being. And so it's not circumstantially driven, but it is something that comes from within us. And the Lord gives us that joy that we have. Happiness is an emotion. It's circumstance driven. If something favorable happens to us, then we become happy. But joy is something that abides, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are around about us. We have that joy, and that joy is in the Lord. And we are thankful for that because the Lord himself provides that. When when our Lord was praying to his Father in intercessory prayer for us, he said, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." This was the prayer of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ for us, that while he was in this world, he would be speaking his word to us that we might have his joy fulfilled in us. Such a beautiful thing that we have from the Lord. Something that's abiding, and it's true, and it's real, and we feel it. And we feel this joy that is in us. And it comes from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we live in a cursed earth. And certainly, each and every one of us are going to experience sorrows in our life as well. And so these two are abiding, and they are real in our lives. And we have them both. We have the sorrows that accompany us in this life, and we have the joys that Jesus Christ prayed that we would have, an abiding joy that we could have and experience his joy, that it would be fulfilled in us. And so we have to accept this truth and that which we, the world that we live in, that we have these joys and we have these sorrows, and they go together in this life. But we look to the Lord, and we know that he can provide comfort in our sorrows, and he provides us that joys that come through the sorrows that we would experience. And we know that with God all things are possible, so that whatever that sorrow is that we're enduring, with God all things are possible, and he will provide us that joy. And we read of that in this chapter that we read together this evening, that joy and sorrow coexist, they abide together. And as we would read this chapter, there are beautiful things written in here, but one thing to note is that there are things that the Apostle Paul is writing here that have a relation one with another. There are many prepositions in here, so to speak, that what precedes the preposition and what comes after the preposition, they are related to each other. And so we'll see that here through the reading. Even in this first verse, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." By is the preposition. The Apostle Paul is an apostle, not of his own self, not a self-proclamation, not that somebody else put him there, but it was by the will of God. It was the will of God that the Apostle Paul, that Paul should become an apostle. This is a relation that happened, that happened and is a truth, that there was the will of God, and the will of God was that Paul would become an apostle. There's this relation. Just as we're speaking here of joy and suffering coexisting. He speaks of Timothy, our brother, unto the church which is at Corinth, which with all the saints which are in all Achaia, so the region all around Corinth, the city of Corinth. He says, "Grace and peace, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Again, here are some relations that are true. That grace and peace are from God, the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace and grace aren't granted from any other source. Peace that comes from any other source is not a true and immeasurable peace that we enjoy as believers in the Lord. Grace and peace are from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, there's this relation that we're seeing here, and we're going to see a lot of this relation of things together. And aren't we thankful that it's the grace and the peace that it's from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that's free, a grace that's whole, a grace that we feel day to day, a peace that comes upon us as well as we have an abiding faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, that his peace fills us, and we know that all things are in his hands and we rest in him. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Again, more things here that are tied together that have a relation one with another. God our Father is a Father of mercies. He is merciful. And the Bible speaks of his mercy over and over and how full and how gracious his mercies are that come upon his creation, that come upon each and every one of us. We feel his mercies. He is the Father of all mercies, and he is the God of all comfort. That's who God is. There's that relation there of God being defined by as merciful, and also that he is defined as the God of all comfort. And so what is comfort? When we have sorrows, and we have struggles, and we have suffering, what is comfort? Comfort is the ease of the feeling of grief, but it doesn't necessarily take away the situation. The comfort comes even in that suffering, and the suffering can continue, but that comfort is there. We feel that comfort that comes from the Lord. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There is a relation there that God is the God of all comforts. And so he provides us that ease in our burden and in our suffering. And so our joy then is full, and we are fulfilled in his joy because of the comfort that he provides as only he can provide. And he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We feel God's comfort. We feel his mercies in our struggles and in our difficulties. And then we see someone, a fellow believer, that's also suffering and also going through a difficult period. And we share the comfort that we received from God with that brother and with that sister and with others as well. Because there are many in this world who don't know the comfort or the mercies of God. And they look for it in other avenues, either through medicinal purposes, or through other substances or other things. And they're looking for comfort in other ways, an easing of their grief. But we can share that comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God with others who are in a dire need. And so maybe one takeaway that we can take from this evening is we ought to be looking for someone who has gone through something wherewith we can help them. We can have sympathy toward people, but only somebody who has gone through something can give empathy to someone who is going through that same thing. If someone lost a child of theirs, for me, I can only offer them sympathy. I've never lost a child, and so I can't offer them empathy. But someone who's lost a child can reach out to them and empathize with them and relate with them and know that they've gone through that same struggle together and the feeling of that loss and that grief that they're going through. And so the Bible here is telling us that as we have been comforted, let's share that comfort that we have received from the Lord. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. They go together. Those sufferings of Christ that we go through, all that live godly will suffer persecution. And there are those who will not appreciate those who believe in Christ and stand for Christ. And so there will be sufferings. There was in the time of Christ, and there was a time in the first church, and it goes throughout history. And so he's saying here that as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. It's in Christ. That relationship is there, that we have this suffering, but we also have the consolation. They are not going to be separated. The Lord will not allow, according to the scriptures here, will not allow us to go through a period of where we would be have suffering and be afflicted and have no comfort coming along with that, the consolation that would come along with that. The sufferings and the consolation abound together. And so our aim then should be that we should be looking to the consolation of the Lord, to He who is the God of all comfort. And that should be our focus. It's too easy to have a carnal mindset and think, well, woe is me, and all this difficulty is laid upon me. But he's saying, no, look to the consolation, because God, we have a God that is a God of all comfort. And so he says, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, or whether we be comforted, it is also for your consolation and your suffering and your salvation. These two things go together. Affliction and consolation, affliction and comfort go together with consolation and salvation. These are related one to another. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. There will be that time period and that time frame that there will be some suffering, but also, and that may abound, but also there will be consolation as well, and that will also abound. And so those two things are related, and they go together. There will not be one without the other. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despised even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. They had it very difficult in Asia, and we read that through the books of Acts, that in Thessalonica they were persecuted, in Philippi they were persecuted. And in other places throughout Asia, they were persecuted, and they were pressed out of measure. And we read some of that in the, I believe it's the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, of all the things that the Apostle Paul had suffered. Very, very difficult things. He suffered all these things. And it says here that they even despaired of life. But what it brought them to is that they would not trust in themselves, but in God. So the relationship here is not a trust in self, but a trust in God. And that relation goes together. And likewise it is for us, that we would have that faith, that we would trust in God and not in ourselves. And it says, in God which raiseth the dead. He knew the power of God. And in Ephesians, he writes about the power that was working in Christ when it wrought him from the dead and resurrected him, that God worked in him to raise him from the dead. And the Apostle Paul says that that same power that was working in Christ is also working in you. So as that power was working to raise Christ, that power is working in us as well. And so we can trust in the Lord, and we can put our faith in Him and know that with Him all things are possible. And then that brings us to have that peace, that consolation, and that joy that only can be found in our Lord. What a blessing that is, to know that we can place our trust in a God who raises the dead. And He delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. And so we look at that verse and we see that it's He delivered us in the past, He's delivering us in the present, and He's going to deliver us in the future. There is a deliverance that the Lord will give unto us as we put our trust in Him. A deliverance from the anguish and the grief that we would be experiencing, and provide for us consolation, and provide for us that comfort, that easing of the grief that we would have. And not necessarily the situation, but the grief. And so we are just trusting in the Lord that he will deliver us even as he has in the past and as he is doing presently and as he will do in the future. The Bible says that for God didn't spare his own son. And if he didn't spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God did the greatest deed for us in giving unto us of his son and allowing his son to be taken by evil men and crucified and having his side pierced. And all these gruesome things happening to the Son of God. And God stood there and allowed it to happen so that we could have salvation. And so the Bible is saying, if God did that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will give unto us all things. He didn't spare his son. He delivered him up for us all. And so we trust in him, and we know that he will provide for us in the future. You know, there are people who believe in, as deists, they believe that God set everything in order, and then he just backed off and let everybody do what they would do, and he would let nature continue as he once created it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that he will provide for us. He will be there for us. He will provide for our needs, our daily needs. And so we are trusting in him, knowing that he delivered us from so great a death and is doing it and will continue to do it. Ye also helping together by prayer for us that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Helping together by prayer. Helping together by prayer. That is a body of believers. That's the function of a body of believers, is helping together by prayer. The Lord asks us to come to him in prayer and to present our needs to him. And we just did that a few moments ago. And we know and we have confidence that God the Father, who dwells in all eternity and dwells in the heavens above, he heard our prayer. He heard our prayer as we uttered it to him. And so the Bible says here that we are helping one another. We are helpers together in this joy that we have by prayer. And we read about a week and a half ago, Brother Gary was here and he spoke of prayer and how the power of prayer can be enhanced by fasting. And so we ought to consider that as we are helping one another and by prayer, that our prayers can be enhanced by fasting, knowing that God hears our prayers and sees our desire to petition him and trust in him. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in this world and more abundantly to you word. So here's a lot of items here in this verse that are speaking, that have a relation one with another. Rejoicing. The rejoicing is a function of the simplicity and the godly sincerity that the Apostle Paul had been living in. When he speaks of having his conversation, that means his lifestyle. His lifestyle was one of simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and that brought about a rejoicing in him. And likewise, we can have that rejoicing in ourselves too, that we simply live godly lives, lives that please the Lord, coming before him and knowing that our joy is fulfilled in us because Jesus Christ prayed that it would be fulfilled in us and that we would be helpers one of another's faith. And so we rejoice in this and we strive also to live in simplicity and godly sincerity, being sincere in our faith, not having a pretense about ourselves, but being sincere in all aspects of our lives, that we are striving to live according to how the Bible shows us that we should live. And doing that just simply in sincerity and in simplicity. For we write none other things unto you than that which you read or acknowledge, and I trust ye also shall acknowledge even unto the end. We are acknowledging God's word, and we are acknowledging his word even until the end, and recognize that it comes from him and from him alone. And his Spirit works in us as we read his word and meditate upon it. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye are also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying there's a mutual joy, that the Corinthians had an expression of rejoicing in the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy. They had a joy in them. And the Apostle Paul here is writing back, as in Timothy with him, that the rejoicing is mutual, and that they rejoice in each other, and that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, that there might be rejoicing in one with another, as the Lord would appear. I really appreciate that first verse of Philippians chapter 4, of just the gushing of the love that the Apostle Paul had for them. He says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." He's such an expression of love that he had for them. And he's telling them, continue in that being steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, my joy and my crown. That's who the Philippians were to the Apostle Paul. And likewise, the Corinthians as well. That they had an expression of love toward Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and they likewise, Paul, Silas, and Timothy likewise, in return, had that expression of love toward them too, and that they were joyful in one another and in their faith that they had one with another in the Lord Jesus Christ. Skipping down toward the end of this chapter, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by Silvanus and Timotheus, which is Silas and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." So as they were preaching Jesus Christ. The relationship there was that the servants of God were preaching Christ. They weren't preaching any other thing. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. And it was done in a manner that their faith could be edified and that their joy in the Lord could be complete. I don't believe there was entertainment. I don't believe there was any other means, but that there was in godly sincerity and in simplicity that their preaching was pointing to Christ. And it can be no other way in our time as well, that we are pointing to Jesus Christ and preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is true. It is not yea and nay, but it is yea. In Jesus Christ, it is truth. For the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Glory of God by us. Again, that relation there, that preposition of by, the glory of God and us. We are to give glory to God. That is the relationship there. That is our mission in life, is to give glory to God. And the promises of God are in him are yea. We take so much comfort and so much pleasure in the promises of God. We read in his word a few chapters later here in chapter 6, Jesus Christ, the Bible here is saying, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Here's a promise from God, from the Lord. Come out from among them, and when you come out from among them, you will be my sons and my daughters. That is a wonderful promise. And so the scripture here continues and says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Having these promises, come out from among them, be separate from the world, have an abiding faith in him, have our joy to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have that relationship with the Father, that we could be his sons and his daughters of the Almighty God, and cry out unto him, Abba, Father. These are great and precious promises that we have. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Our establishment and our anointing is of God. That happened of God. There's another relationship right there. We weren't established of our own. We weren't anointed of our own. One of us didn't anoint another one of us. But our anointing and our establishment is of God. He's the one that did that. That's the relation there. And moreover, he speaks further that who also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. This is what God did. He did these four things: established us, anointed us, he sealed us, and he gave us the earnest of his Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit in this translation, what it means is a down payment. God owns us, and he put a down payment on us, and he will come and make the payment in full to take us to be his in full. And in that partial payment, in that earnest payment, he's giving unto us his Holy Spirit, his good and his Holy Spirit, that will direct us in all of his ways, and it will direct us to his word, and will direct us to walk in a way that is well-pleasing to the Lord, will direct us to walk in that fullness of joy being fulfilled in us, despite sufferings and sorrows and grief that would be around about us. The earnest of the Spirit. Such great are the promises of God. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Such beautiful words that are written here in the Scriptures. No one has dominion over someone else's faith. We don't submit to somebody else's faith. We don't submit to one another, but we submit to God in the aspect of our faith. No one can have dominion over our faith. But here the Apostle Paul with Silas and Timothy, he's saying that they're helpers in their joy. Helpers, building each other up in this joy that we have, that as Jesus Christ prayed to the Father that he would give his word while he was in this world, that his joy might be fulfilled in us. And the Apostle Paul here and Silas and Timothy are encouraging the Corinthians to continue in this joy of their faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, for by faith ye stand. By faith we stand. By faith in believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By faith in believing that the Word of God is true. By faith in believing that all things point to Jesus Christ in the Word of God, and that the living faith then is lived out by having an obedience unto the commandments of Christ and living according to his precepts and allowing his joy to be full in us. And then the Bible speaks also of another relationship, that God is love, and he that abideth in God abideth in love. And that he, as we abide in God and in love, and his love is made manifest in us, we have love one toward another. That's the relationship that he is asking that we would have. That we would have a love and a concern, a desire to build each other up and strengthen one another in our faith, and to have our be helpers in one another's joy. So we are to have this relationship among ourselves, even as we have it with God, and God has it with us, that God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. And that we would have love then one for another. So maybe we understand the Scriptures, that there are sorrows, but with those sorrows are joys. And he's asking us that we would have our faith, that it would be abiding, and that it would be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give us grace day by day, and his peace will fill us, and the God of comfort and the Father of mercies will be with us throughout all eternity. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.